The mustard-colored Animas River is what caught most people's attention. Photos and videos of the discoloration were seen and shared around the world for about 4 hours. After the news cycle moved on, efforts began to address toxic mine drainage around Silverton, an issue that had been around for years. Jesse Paul is a reporter with the Colorado Sun. He's written extensively about the fallout from the Gold King mine spill on August 5th, 2015. Jesse, thanks for joining us today. Can you kind of bring us up to date? What's happened in the past 5 years since the spill?
Sure. I mean, basically, and most people in Southwest Colorado remember this. I mean, right after the mine spill, it seemed like the world kind of descended upon Silverton and Durango, and a lot of big-name politicians showed up, the EPA administrator at the time under President Barack Obama, and there were all these calls for significant change to be made and action to be taken toward draining mines across the country, and particularly in Southwest Colorado. You know, basically in the 5 years since, that just hasn't happened. As the folks left, the mines kept draining. And since then, you know, there's been efforts taken, but none of them have really been fruitful in terms of congressional legislation or state action to really start tackling this problem, which is about 23,000 mines big in Colorado alone. And even in Silverton, you know, where the EPA made a big focus, you know, to tackle the issue there afterwards, kind of a commitment in response to having caused the mine spill. You know, folks up there are still waiting for big changes to be made. Some stuff has gotten done, but it's really been mostly slow going, people told me.
What do you think slows these processes down? Is it a lack of political will from Congress to address them, or with that, a lack of funding? Because this is a multi-billion dollar endeavor.
One, there is no money, and there's not really the political will to, say, dedicate $1 billion to the problem. This is probably a 50-plus billion-dollar problem across the country. And then the two main, you know, ways that people see to fix this issue are kind of divergent and politically tricky, too. One would be to start charging existing hard rock mining operations in Colorado, in the U.S., a fee to kind of put into a fund that would be able to pay for the cleanup. For obvious reasons, you know, the mining industry isn't super keen on that, and Republicans aren't super keen on that. And then the other side of it is this idea of a so-called Good Samaritan piece of legislation, which would allow nonprofit groups like Trout Unlimited, which a lot of folks are familiar with, to start kind of digging around and working on these mine sites, you know, with the resources they have, whether it's using private funding or, you know, getting money from the federal government. And the issue with that is that the Good Samaritan bill essentially would give these organizations immunity from the Clean Water Act if something went wrong. Opponents of this say, one, there's not enough money privately to actually tackle the problem through Good Samaritans. And two, like, you know, if you have another Gold King disaster, you need to have somebody who's on the hook to actually fix things, right? I mean, the Gold King disaster was caused by people who were trying to do the right thing. But, you know, obviously things went horribly wrong. And you got to have somebody responsible at the end of the day is what opponents of Good Samaritan legislation say. The proponents of Good Samaritan legislation say basically, like, it's better to start getting something done rather than waiting around for the gears of Congress to start moving. But, you know, obviously this is such a political issue that it's been difficult to move forward on any of these things. And there's been several bills introduced and they've all kind of just fallen on their face.
And we know that a couple of years ago, Colorado Senators Michael Bennett and Cory Gardner were working together on some legislation to address this. And then, lo and behold, they had a political falling out. Are they still working on this issue just from different directions?
So Michael Bennett is in the camp that existing mining companies should be taxed or face a fee in order to actually create a pool of money. And Cory Gardner is for the Good Samaritan legislation. So they're just on opposite ends of the spectrum here. Mm-hmm. And the indications that I get are that they're not working together on legislation currently. Back in 2016, I think there was a discussion draft that they were both floating together, and it appeared they were kind of on the same page. But in the years since, I think they've kind of floated into each other's respective camps, the Good Samaritan and reclamation fee camps. And that's kind of where things stand right now. And everybody looks at what's happening in Congress. I think somebody put it well to me who works in the environmental field. I mean, Congress can't even agree on how to help people through the pandemic. How are they going to agree on something like, you know, abandoned mines, which is an issue that's been around for decades?
Did you track what happened with some of the fears that Silverton residents had over the area being declared a Superfund site. Another 4 years ago, there was some pretty steadfast opposition to a Superfund declaration. People were afraid that it might affect tourism in Silverton or possibly even prevent future hard rock mining development in the area. What came of those fears? Did they come to pass?
So Anthony Edwards, who's kind of a community liaison between the EPA and Silverton, essentially told me that the fears about the economic impacts haven't really come to fruition. And I spent a lot of time in Silverton and Durango right after the mine spill talking with the county commissioners. I actually went on a trip with them to different Superfund sites in Colorado where they learned about Superfund and kind of softened to the idea of the Bonita Peak Mining District, which is what the Superfund site at Silverton's now called. And, you know, they kind of realized that the only way that they could really get things cleaned up was through Superfund. And you know, they're hopeful that the EPA will kind of keep good on its promise to make sure that Silverton is a priority and that things happen as fast as possible up there. But as far as I can tell, I mean, there really hasn't been a huge impact as of yet on Silverton, negative or otherwise. And I think there's probably folks who would say different on other sides of this, and it's certainly a really sensitive issue. I mean, even in the days after the mine spill, I remember talking to folks in Silverton and like county commissioners wouldn't even talk to me about it because of how political it was and how, you know, how much it split the community.
Jesse, you've been reporting on this issue for 5 years now, since the spill. Is there something that's come up for you in the course of reporting about this issue that you think might be getting lost that the public should know about?
I just think, you know, looking at this issue was really fascinating back in 2015. As a journalist, I was kind of learning with the public, I felt like, about the issue of abandoned mines across the West. And it was something that was pretty new to me. And when the Gold King mine ruptured, I had to quickly kind of educate myself on what the issue was. And maybe I was too optimistic back then, but it really seemed like there was going to be this push to actually address the issue. And I think what's been pretty staggering is just the lack of progress that's been made in that time and how things have kind of fallen off people's radar. And I think I can't really emphasize this enough, like this idea that, you know, after everybody left and called for these changes in Silverton and Durango, like the mines have just continued to drain. And I think, you know, as water scarcity becomes more of an issue in the West, I think people are going to have to take a hard look at this someday, because you can't, you know, contaminated water and a scarcity of water are things that just don't kind of two and two doesn't equal four there. It's not a sustainable solution.
That's Jesse Paul, a reporter with the Colorado Sun. You can read his most recent article on the 5 years since the Gold King spill at coloradosun.com. Reporting for KSUT, I'm Mark Dugan.